She's also an honorable mention in this year's Wednesday Club Poetry Contest. So, Darcy Holgrave.
Thank you. I want to thank everybody once again for coming out tonight. This first poem, actually I'm going to read some of my older stuff, but, Hey, help. Can it stay like that? Oh, okay. Okay, thanks. This is entitled, When People Ask Me If I'm Irish. Sometimes I say no, I color my hair. And when they ask me what color it was, I tell them I don't remember. It's the color of corn stalks decomposing in the winter, stripped of their fruit, shielding their fields from hard wind. It's the color of a language that's no longer spoken at home or taught to the children, but slips out, ach mein Gott. It's the color of my uncle's hand as he held it to the Nazi soldier, whose name was the same as our own. Most of the time, though, I say no, I'm American. And my grandparents sigh from their graves, relieved that this dead color which has stained the rooms of our homes can be covered, relieved that this winter is over and we can plant again. Weaving. The filaments of our tongues, our limbs, our torsos have intertwined into a tapestry rich with blush and pupil black, dilating in a delicious stretch, the blonde tendrils of our organs straining to interlace. With these threads, we describe spring, plows churning the umber soil, tangles of sparrows, purple crocuses pushing open to a circle of buttered light. If we complete these scenes, continue weaving until our negative spaces are filled, remember, we must withdraw our individual strands again, re-encrypt them into my flesh and yours, but we will remain like hair unbraided, bent to the memory of each other's shapes. Of fireflies and other small illuminations. Isn't it terrible what we did when we were kids? It is pretty bad. Blinking in the backyard, they signaled to us in a code so cryptic we captured them for spies, pinched off glowing tails so we could wear rings of firefly fire, neon gem talismans to protect us from car crashes, leukemia, rug burn. But the rings lost their juice by the time we washed up for bed. We grew out of that game, stopped killing in ignorance to favor greed, dropping the insects kicking to the bottom. If only the chemicals had burned circles in our skin, or their bodies had risen up incandescent undead to haunt us. But still, somehow we learned there are galaxies too big to pocket, even the pinpoint variety. So now we pluck them out of the air to prove we can follow their blacked out trail. But we open our fists to let them fly. This is for my mom. This is called Gleaning a Mother's Advice. I do actually ask my mom for advice pretty often, so if she were to hear this poem, she'd say, what, that's not true. You know, but when I do ask her for advice, she always tells me, you know, you're going to do whatever the hell you want anyway, so. Anyway. We move parallel along the clothesline, unpinning and folding sheets crisp with sunlight and lilac, dropping the pins in a terry cloth bag sewn to a hanger. She says, birds nest unwisely. I have to take this bag in every day, or it will be packed with straw by the morning. Same with the wasps. Why they pick the awning above the front door is beyond me. And she gets out a broomstick and knocks down a new honeycomb of mud every week, waving away its builder's dive bombs briskly. She doesn't ask why I'm here. Bloodshot and unshowered, helping her take laundry down from the line. She'll never say, "So leave him." If pressed, she'd say, "Never mind the smashed bottles. I stayed with your father till the end. He was my husband." I watch the shadow puppet show of her behind the last sheet, her arms rising and falling, her profile speaking. The wasps can nest somewhere else. No point inviting them in the house. So I break the parallel lines we've been walking to take the terry cloth bag inside. And this is a poem in construction. Actually, I've gotten pretty excited about this one lately. With the help of Kent Shaw, he's done some revision on it that I really liked. And the story is Cephalus and Procris. There's a painting in the St. Louis Art Museum. It's an incredible painting. I recommend it. And the story is Cephalus is a hunter, and his wife Procris suspects that that he's been unfaithful to her because he goes out hunting every evening. So one evening she follows him, and he shoots her on accident, supposedly. There were two figures, one a woman whose blue skin was the asphyxiated shade of dead drowning in their own lungs, and her mouth almost moaned to that dark man behind her. He was supporting her body with his, tearing open her bodice, reaching down between the dusk shadows that exposed her breasts tonight to fletching. Cupid could not have shot more accurately. Cephalus had heard motion in the underbrush. He swears Ida form. He called it his prey, like any good hunter, arched his bow and flew as the arrow leaped through branches and parted the flesh of her chest. His fingers testing the wet patch, no longer than the patch that had stained her bridal bed. He was reaching then, perhaps to pluck the dark flower springing from her ribs, to take back what he planted, or perhaps only to confirm its root. Procris knows too late fidelity. Thank you.